Good evening, everybody. My heart and mind are full of things that I would like to share this evening, and it's been a little bit difficult to try to come down on something, and the overall plan is eventually to continue in the book of Psalms. In the songs of degrees is what I was looking at tonight, but I just sense that there's a different direction to go. But one is in the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to ask you to come with me there. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul says here, let's begin in verse 17. Verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17. He says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So don't be unwise, but instead understand what the will of the Lord is. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Well, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that it is to be here in the house of God tonight, but not just this building, but to be here in the presence of those that have committed their life to you, trusted Christ as their Savior, and have received scriptural baptism and been brought into a specific body of Christ here in this place. And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our spiritual connection, our spiritual family. Father, thank you for each one. Father, thank you that we can meet here together this evening. And I would ask you, Lord, to speak to everybody's hearts this evening through your word and through all the things that we'll be looking at to just draw us in closer to you and to grant us a renewed and refreshed perspective and a renewed and refreshed confidence in you for all areas of our lives. So we ask your blessing and your presence and your instruction to our hearts now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just want us to notice here that if we are wise and if we understand what the will of the Lord is, then we know that we should be filled with the Spirit and not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And of course, that's a contrast. There's a contrast to be drunk with wine on the one hand, or on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit. And of course, when someone is drunk with wine, they have handed over the control of their mind and body to alcohol, and they've lost their inhibitions, and now they're just going with, well, no pun intended, but going with the flow of the alcohol that's come into them. But Paul uses that to contrast being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, of course, is the idea that we yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. And we just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, which implies that we have the Holy Spirit present in us, and the Holy Spirit has the ability to impress upon us, to give us urges and desires that come from the Spirit of God. And to be filled with the Spirit of God means that we're totally under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit, which is a willing, conscious choice that we make. But then he gives us a list of participles. So you is the idea here. You is the subject. Speaking to yourselves, giving thanks, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit are, first of all, here in verse 19, worshiping the Lord. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, don't expect a grim, gloomy determination, you know, but instead expect the joy of the Lord whenever the Holy Spirit is in control. And when the Holy Spirit's in control, another characteristic is giving thanks always for all things. And that's another characteristic of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever we have neglected thankfulness, and whenever we just take things without thinking, or we receive things and all we can do is grump and gripe about them, that's not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us into thankfulness, gratefulness. I remember so clearly, it's been a few years ago now, but I had the privilege to go to Iraq and to be in that country for 10 or more days. And at that time, ISIS was in control of areas around. In fact, ISIS was in control of Mosul, and we were 30 miles away from there. And so there was always kind of an impending sense of something could happen at any moment. And just being among the different people. And I remember coming back, and a day or two after I got back, I went to neighborhood market, and I just stood there and was just overwhelmed with such joy to be standing there in neighborhood market, you know, at peace, you know, and to realize, you know, here I am in America, and we're in security, and look at all the stuff everywhere, you know. So it was just remarkable. But you know, we don't always do that. You know, usually when I go to neighborhood market now, I'm just grumpy. Okay, where is it? Why do they keep moving stuff? Why can't they put things where they belong? You know, but the Holy Spirit produces in us a sense of gratitude, a sense of thankfulness. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, the Holy Spirit gives us a heart to serve. Gives us a heart to serve. So that heart to serve, that heart of thankfulness, and that heart of worship of the Lord. I just want to say a couple of words here about verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, as many of you all may know, if you can't tell by looking, I've been around for a while. And the music that I was ingrained in the first 10 years of my life was country music, you know. The original Hank Williams and, you know, Johnny Cash and all those guys. And then once I became a teenager, I realized that's old fogey stuff, you know, so I went into rock music and all that kind of thing. And you know, it doesn't take too many licks, you know, too many notes for a song to come right back to you, you know, from those days. And so you can walk around with a song like that in your head, you know, for days, like that. But then, you know, this passage comes to my mind. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's where the mind needs to go, to the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And psalms, I think it's good to have the book of Psalms in our mind for that. And hymns are songs of praise and victory, specifically spiritual songs. Well, I'd like for us to look at a couple of spiritual songs. One is number 566. So just take your hymnal there. We're looking at what I'd like to talk with us about here for a second. In this is just let's apply Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Let's apply Ephesians 5:19. Here is a spiritual song. Here's a spiritual song that we can speak to ourselves in, that we can sing to ourselves in. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Now, you can't get a song that's going to be much better than that, you know, to a good spiritual song. And verse 2, I'm resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. 3, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith and do what he willeth. Right. So to have those words in our mind, reminding us about what we're to be doing, and to focus on the Savior. We need that reminder, don't we? We need that reminder. The Lord designed us to love music. He designed us to love the poetry, the rhythm, the repetition, the parallelism. And that's why he tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to make sure that we know some that we can sing to ourselves. And the songs that we sing in church is a good place to start. I'd like to ask us also to go to number 617. 617. Yes, if these sound familiar, it's because we sang them just a few minutes ago. But number 617, you know, I know three people who within the past 7 days have gone to the emergency room under duress, under fear that they were having some sort of a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. And they were there and were examined and were told, you're experiencing stress. You're experiencing anxiety due to stress. Wow. Well, I'm not saying anything to disparage anybody, but to say that's very common. It's very common for us to be overwhelmed with stress. Right? We have stress in our home. You know, any place that you've got two people together, there's going to be stress. And of course, some of us are able to have stress with just ourselves there. But we're going to have stress in relationships. We're going to have stress in finances. We're going to have stress in at work, the people that we work with. And according to the scripture, we're likely to have stress even in the church, even in dealing with one another in the church. That's why Paul told us in this very book to strive for the unity of the Spirit. We have to strive for that. We have to work for it, because the natural flow of things is to be discordant and to be at each other. So we have to strive for the unity of the Spirit. But all of that said, how do you deal with stress? Well, we could go and get some emotional and psychological therapy. And that is an answer. If you go to the emergency room, the doctor will tell you you need to get some counseling to deal with your stress. Or he may give you some medication to deal with your stress. But I'd like to suggest this. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There's a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. There's a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. There's a place where we, our Savior, meet near to the heart of God. There's a place of full release, letting it go. A place where all is joy and peace. Do you see, if we were doing what this spiritual song says, we would be effectively dealing with our stress, wouldn't we? Our old mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers that didn't have all of the access to the emergency room and the medications and the psychological counseling and all of that. How did they deal with it? They had the hymns that they sang, and they knew what those hymns meant, and they had the Word of God, and they knew what it meant. And much of the stress of their life, which was as great as the stress that we deal with, they knew how to deal with it with the Lord. With the Lord. If we could apply this song, we could deal with some of the stresses, wouldn't we? But I noticed the first song, and I didn't ask Brother Otis to put these songs in this order. I did ask him to put this song in there, in the middle. But that was because it's a slow song. But the order of the music that we had tonight, I am resolved to go to the Savior. I'm resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. And I know that in our church, that is a common resolution. That's why we're here tonight. And that's why we're here. I'm looking and seeing people that have been here for decades right? Miss Colleen sent a picture to me the other day of Brother Pat and me during the eclipse. He's standing there with Leonidas, and I'm standing there with Benaiah. And just what a wonderful thing it is that after 40 some odd years, here we are, grandparents with our grandsons there, still enjoying the being in the fellowship of the church and serving the Lord together, you know. And may it continue until He comes. But that resolution is there. But even with that resolve to follow the Savior faithful and true each day, we still run into the difficulties and stresses of life. How do we deal with those as a resolved, sincere, dedicated Christian? We've got to go near to the heart of God and find that place of comfort and that place of peace. But then the last song that we sang is 571. Let's take a look at that. 571. See, I'm just making a definite application of the scripture here that says, speak to yourselves in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. These are the kind of things that we need to have in our heart as we go about. And this reminder, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And look at verse 3. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, to stay yielded to Him. To stay yielded to Him, that's the key. Well, the other thing that I wanted to share with us this evening is to begin really a two-part message here, and that's this, and this message came about approximately 25 years ago. Approximately 25 years ago, I was at KOFC doing my Saturday morning stint there. And just thinking about the movement at that time of Baptist churches dropping their name, dropping the name of Baptist. Just thinking about why are they doing that? And of course, the reason that they're doing that is so that the offense of the name Baptist won't keep people away who otherwise might come to church. But it just occurred to me that those churches that are doing that are really doing what the old proverb says, they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. The bathwater, of course, being the idea that there's the Baptist name may be offensive to some, but there's a precious baby there that you're throwing out too. There's a precious heritage there. There's a precious identification there that we're throwing out with the baby. And it just seemed to be an unwise decision to do that, although I could really sympathize with the motivation to do it, to drop the name Baptist. It seemed that it was not a good idea because now people don't know what you are. You know, if you are the heaven-bound church. Okay, that sounds really good. That sounds really positive, you know. But then you get in there and you find out, in order to get to heaven and be truly heaven-bound, you've got to speak in unknown tongues. Well, okay, people don't know that, you know. Or if you're the Red Oak Church. And people go in there and they find out, if they dig and search and find out what's actually taught here, they find out that you're actually a Church of Christ, and you're going to tell them they have to be baptized in order to be saved. You see, it turns out to be stealth. They're stealth churches. You go and you don't find out what it is until you've been there for a while. And you may be there for a while and still not know what it is, and neither does anybody else, because there is nothing definite preached nothing definite taught. But boy, do they come in. The music is nice. You know, people can get pumped up and made to feel good for a while, but there's no spiritual feeding. There's no spiritual edification and growth. There's no challenge to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. But I was thinking, is there a biblical example of people that did that, or maybe some people that did the opposite? And I was reminded of the people in Jeremiah chapter 35, the people called the Rechabites. And we're not going to look at them tonight. We may look at them next week. But they were a people who held on to the instruction and the heritage that was delivered to them over a period of at least 300 years. Their great-great-great-grandfather gave them some specific instructions as a family as to what they were going to do. And over 300 years later, the great prophet Jeremiah, the outstanding leader, the spiritual authority of Israel, tried to get them to do some things that were contrary to their family's heritage, and they refused. They refuse. So we may take a look at that sometime. But what I would like to look at tonight is just the idea that there are some things that God wants us to hold fast. There are some things that God wants us to hold fast. And there are some things that I think it would be safe to say God wants us to change. We changed over and put LED lights all over the place around our church. That was a good idea. You know, that kind of change, that was a good idea. It lessens the amount of electricity that's used, doesn't it? And according to some people, those incandescent bulbs contribute to global warming. So we're doing our part to help in global warming by using the LED lights. So there are some things that don't really matter whether we hold fast. But there are some things that really do matter. So I'd like for us, first of all, to just get the idea that we need to be a people that know who we are and we know what we're about and we hold fast what we're about. So I'd like to ask you to come with me to a few scriptures on that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is one of those passages where we have Paul's instructing the church at Thessalonica. Oh, and the church at Thessalonica was a church that was being persecuted. They were being spoken against. They were being put down for their belief in Christ and for the kind of life that they were living. But Paul wrote this to them to tell them to stand fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 21. It says this: prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Just because something comes down the pike, just because something comes into our awareness, just because something is becoming popular, just because it's something that seems to be really effective at drawing them in, or whatever term we want to use, prove it. Prove it means put it to the test. Put it to the test. How do we put ideas to the test? We have to compare them to this book. And we have to rightly divide this book. You know, if somebody comes in and says, listen, Mission Boulevard, I have received a revelation from the Lord. You are supposed to keep the Passover now. Everybody needs to go buy a leg of lamb. And here in a couple of weeks on Passover, everybody needs to gather around. You need to get your little yarmulke piece and put on your head and do all of that. And we need to observe the Passover. And here's the scripture that says that you should keep the Passover. Well, for one thing, that was a covenant between God and the nation of Israel. We're in a different institution. We're in the church. But if somebody comes and says that and they say, well, such and such a church is doing it, this church is doing it, that church is doing it, you should do it too because it's totally biblical. We need to prove it. We need to put it to the test and see, is that a biblical idea? Not whether it's popular, not whether it's fun, not whether it seems to be spiritual, but does it match what the scripture says? So whenever he says prove all things, what he's talking about is examine things and evaluate them in light of what the scripture says. But then look at the second half of that verse. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. One of the things that we need to hold fast to is the doctrines. The doctrines, the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of salvation. 2 Thessalonians, let's go to another scripture on this. 2 Thessalonians, this is in chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. He says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by epistle, taught whether by word or by our epistle. So we are instructed, brethren, this is to the whole church, isn't it? Brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions you have been taught. See, we have some traditions in our church, don't we? Some traditions that are based on the scripture, not just a tradition for the sake of a tradition, like I was talking about the incandescent bulbs. That was a tradition for decades, but not that kind of thing, but traditions that are based on the Word of God. We're to hold those things fast. Hold fast to those kind of things. Acts chapter 20 is a reference to the other side of this. We should hold fast because there are going to be influences among churches to go the other way. There are going to be influence among churches to not follow the teachings of the New Testament, to not evaluate things in light of the Word of God. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 20, here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is making his round here. He's stopping to talk to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he delivers a whole message to them. But in the midst of that message, he gives them this warning. Let's go to verse 28. He says to the elders of the church at Ephesus there, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. See, that influence to pull people away from what they've been taught by the apostles. And how do we know what was taught by the apostles? Praise the Lord. He has preserved the scriptures for us so that we know what those men taught. And we can examine and evaluate the different teachings and instructions and ideas that are going around. We can evaluate them based on what the apostles said. The Lord's preserved that for us. So knowing that there are those influences to draw us away from the Lord, we need to stand fast to the Word of God. Well, how can you stand fast? You need to read the scripture yourself, don't you? You know, I've even heard Brother Brian challenge us to not just accept what he says, but to read the scripture and verify for yourselves from the Word of God that what he's teaching is the Word of God. And that's the perspective of a true man of God, a true pastor. He wants you in the Word and evaluating things and being under the conviction of the Word of God. Well, there are some things that we want to hold fast, and we're going to have to talk about those a little bit later because we're out of time for tonight. So next time we get together, I'd like to give us five essential things that we need to hold fast. And I'll just give you a sneak preview. What they are the Bible. We need to hold fast to the Bible. And the Bible is under attack today. Not only the idea of the Bible, but the versions of the Bible and how to study and understand the Bible, all of that is under attack. And it's under attack in the minds and hearts of even the people of our church. The second is the gospel of grace. I'm having the opportunity just now to teach some people in a Bible study that are members of a Baptist church who have serious questions about eternal security. We need to hold fast the gospel of grace, because the influences are there, even in Baptist churches, to compromise that. And of course, that makes sense, because if we're all one body and all of the denominations teach all the different things, then who are we to say that we have the truth and they don't? Do you see? But we need to hold fast the gospel. Paul said, if anybody brings any other gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. Holiness. Holiness is something that we need to hold on to. And, you know, that may sound like an old-fashioned word, and it may even sound like Pentecostal, you know, like the girls are all going to put their hair up in a bun, you know, or something like that. But holiness doesn't have anything to do with all of those trappings. Holiness has to do with living a life that's truly dedicated to Christ and getting the things out of our life that are contrary to Christ. And that's something that we need to hold on to. A fourth one is the family. A major part of our Christian life is to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and for husbands to love their wives, and for wives to reverence their husbands. And that's all of those things are very unpopular right now. We'll discuss that a bit. And then the fifth thing is the church. We need to know what we are as a church. We need to know what the church is as it's taught in the scripture, and we need to stand fast for the church. One of the amazing things to in my heart and mind has been to that people who have been a member of our church here before, maybe for years, leave our church and go become members of a different denomination that doesn't even teach the gospel of grace. We have to be convinced to stand fast in the things that we have been taught and the things of the scripture. Amen. Okay, we'll finish. To be continued.